this morning, as we lean in, there's a truth that we see in Scripture, and we saw throughout the whole week as we lead in from Friday to Saturday to Sunday. But a lot of times when we get to Sunday, we forget the truth of these old lyrics of an old hymn. And there's this hymn that went, "Because He Lives." And I don't know if you've ever heard it before, but I'll let see you play a few chords of it just to see if you can remember this old hymn. Some of you know, and that's it.
No, He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
So these famous words that we've sung before, or some have sung before, of "Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know that He holds the future, life is worth the living just because of that." And it's real easy to say on Sunday those words and to sing them and think, oh, this is true. But I want us just for a second, in the few minutes that we have together, to sort of go back into the story, to realize that these words are reality. But what would it have felt like upon the journey? What would it have felt like for the disciples on the Friday and the Saturday as they were walking to the reality of those words? So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of our message is this: Because He Lives. And we're going to look at a portion of text from Luke 24, verse 1 to 6. And this is what it says: "But very early on Sunday morning, the woman went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the man asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember, He told you He would back in Galilee.'" So we hear the account, and we always focus in on that final portion where it says He's not here, just like He said He would. He's risen. And many times throughout church tradition, it would be "He's risen. He's risen indeed." But for just a second, think back of how those ladies and the disciples would have felt. They've had the roughest of days. They get ready to go to the tomb to continue to prepare the body, to bring the spices, walking through grief, wandering through the darkness of all the feelings and all the hope that seemed like it was zapped from their life. Because as we see, they were wandering in the dark. They were in that journey of everything they had invested. They believed that this was their Messiah, the Savior, the teacher, their rabbi, their everything. The disciples had put away their past careers, their past ambitions, and they said, "I'm going to follow You no matter the cost," believing that in Him everything would change, and their life had changed. They'd seen signs and wonders. It followed Jesus. It followed their lives. But in that moment on Friday, their Savior, their King, He truly died upon the cross. And He was buried in the tomb. And then the ladies come to check on Him. And can you imagine the feelings in the blurred vision of all the grief and all the loss and probably the feelings of unanswered prayer? They're wondering, can it get even worse? Because they go to find Him in the tomb, and now they're like, He's not even there. Someone's stolen His body. Someone's done something with Him. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt those feelings where you felt like, man, I just don't know if my day or my week or my year or my decade could get any worse? Where it feels like the things that you've invested in, the things that you've thought, hey, this is how it's going to play out, it doesn't play out the way that you thought. where you've walked through disappointment, discouragement, loss, or grief, or maybe even today you're sitting there saying, God, I trusted you, but where are you? I thought this is how life would look and how it would go. Can anybody relate? Anybody went through that journey where it feels like you're just wandering through the darkness? You're wandering through that journey saying, where are you, God? I think the disciples understood all too well what that felt like. And it didn't just stop at that moment at the end of Friday, the day that we often sort of skip over is the silent Saturday. In those moments where sometimes it feels like God's quiet, where even though you know he's close, even though you've heard the words where he's there, he'll never leave nor forsake you, that he's for you, not against you, that you're the head, not the tail. In those days and in the journey and in the quiets of your nights or the tears upon your pillows, sometimes you wonder and say, God, why are you being silent? Why are you distant? Why are you so far away? And I think the disciples and the ladies, they understood this feeling, but they forgot a truth that today maybe some of us in this place have forgot. Is that even when it's silent, even when it feels like God is not working or he's not close by, there is a promise today that in the silence, he is still working. In the quiet of Saturday, in the journey where it feels like all hope is being stripped away, when everything is lost, when you don't know where to turn, he is still working, he is still moving. Just because today your circumstance, your situation, or your neighbor's or your friend's situation feels hopeless, it doesn't mean that all hope is gone. Because in that journey, while you're waiting, God is still working. Today, if you feel that he's a far way off, if you feel like he's silent, don't lose hope today, because he is still working even in the silence. Because silence and absence and waiting does not mean that God is inactive. While they waited, while they were in their loss, there is a journey of what Jesus was doing. He was preparing for what was to come. He was preparing for new life for them and for all of us. He was making a way so that you and I could declare that truth, because he lives, that we could say he is risen indeed. He was moving and he was working. Just because it feels like the end doesn't mean that God is finished. For some in this place, you might need to write that down. You might feel today that you're at the end of the rope and that hope is fading. But I want you to know today that God is still moving. God is still working. It looked like he was finished. Oh, but that was not the end of the story. He was still moving. He was still working. And so to make sure that we get this through, if today you have had those moments where it feels like it's silent, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't give up. Look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, don't give up. Something good is coming. Because that is the truth. Today, if you feel like you're ready to give up, or you know someone who is, that is the truth of the silent Saturday into the victorious Sunday. That victory is coming, that we can keep trusting, we can keep praying, because God is still working. Then in that moment of loss, in that moment of turmoil, in that conflict, in that strain, he's still working. He's not running from our mess. He's running to us. That's what the cross reminds us. In those moments, we have to realize that in the silence and in the waiting, that is often where faith is being formed. He's given us that moment of the test of saying, will you trust? Will you lean in? Will you believe that I'm still working? Because what feels like your darkest day might be the day right before the resurrection and the breakthrough. Don't give up on the edge of your breakthrough. Some in this place, you feel like you're ready to give up. That's why I had you say to your neighbor, don't give up, because something good is coming. You may be right on the edge of the resurrection, the life change, the breakthrough that you've been praying for years upon years, the prodigal to come home, the breakthrough, the restoration. You may be right at the breakthrough. Don't give up in the silence, in the waiting, because there is an end of the story, even though it doesn't feel like that way. Because he lives, you and I have hope for tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because we trust that his future for us is good. That's why we started with that truth, that because he lives. I love these words as we go back to the account. It says, now we return, now we look, the ladies come, and they're gripped with this feeling of like, what's going on? Can it get any worse? And they hear these words, he is not here. He is risen, just like he said he would. He doesn't go back on his word. His words are true. They're without error. He is faithful. He is strong and trustworthy. They said, he is risen, and he's risen indeed. He rose physically, historically, and powerfully. He truly is alive. You can historically look it up. That's why we see those accounts, that there was eyewitness accounts reminding them, not only just the church, not just his followers, but he is risen indeed. He saw them in their hurt and in their brokenness. And can you imagine in that moment what those ladies felt like? What an emotional roller coaster. Ever been on one of those days? You think the worst is there, and then you start to come back to recollection. The tomb is empty. He's not here. He's risen. They see it. They're changed from their grief, from their loss. Joy starts to come in. Faith starts to rise up and fan into flame. They run to tell of the good news. They tell the disciples. And the disciples, they don't even totally understand or agree or even believe. So now they're running to the tomb. And even in the journey, we see doubting Thomas. And he sits there and Jesus says, in your doubt, in your loss, in your hurt, here am I. So in your hurt, in your loss, in your grief, he's literally saying today, here am I. So what happens because he lives? What does that mean for you and for me today? What's he want to do? Because he lives, your story isn't over. So what you think defines you today, or what has defined you for your journey, what others have declared over your life, because he lives, your story is not over. He's still writing it, so don't lose hope. Because he lives, everything changes. In that moment, everything changed because the tomb was empty. So in your life, in my life, when it feels like it is too much and you have no hope, run back to the tomb and see that it is empty and be reminded that what seemed like a loss is really a victory. That in that moment over your life, because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, you and I have a future, and it is a good future. And that future includes, like what we sang about before, he's not calling you and he's not calling me to a grave-tending life. One that sits there saying, I don't know what went on. My hope is gone. But instead, as Romans says, and I'm not going to read it all today, but Romans 8, verse 15 to 17, in the paraphrase version of the message, it says, you and I were not called to live a grave-tending life, but instead a life of adventure in the kingdom that goes and runs to the king and says, what's next? What's next, Dad? What do you have for my life? In your life, no matter what the story has looked like up to this point, the cross and the resurrected king changes everything. And he says, you were not meant to live in the old, but you were meant to live in the new. You were meant to say, I've got a purpose, I've got a hope, and it's found in Jesus Christ. So Jesus, what's next for my life? What are you calling me today? That some in this place, maybe you are dead in sin. You've been wandering away and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Today today could be your day. That just like those who walk through water baptism saying, I don't want to live a grave-tending life. I don't want to live in my hopelessness. I don't want to live in my shame or my guilt. But today, because he lives, I want to walk in your freedom. And for others, you've known Jesus for a long time. But if you were to look at your life, you would sit there and say, oh, maybe I've been doing a little grave-tending. I haven't been living in the adventure of the kingdom. You've been letting fear and past hold you back from believing the great things that God has for you, for stepping out in prayer, for believing that he can still move and make a way. But I want to tell you today, on Easter Sunday, Easter declares that he is risen and the tomb is empty. You don't have to stand back in the things of old, the things that have died in your life, the things that have tried to trap you in your life. Today is a day that he is still raising people, that he's still moving us to freedom. And today, if we would call on his name and remember that he lives, watch out. That's what he's declaring from the youngest to the oldest in this place, is that he lives. And because he lives, everything changes. If we would just call on his name and say, Jesus, here am I. Save me, use me, and release me. So I don't know about you, but I think we would miss an opportunity today as we end our service to not give an opportunity for those, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and as I've been talking, you're like, I want that. I want the new life, and I want that hope that can only be found in him. So what I'm going to ask you to do is that just for a second, if you would close your eyes, just it helps us focus. And that every head would be bowed in this place. And today, if there's some in this place and you maybe feel like those who went to the tomb, feeling like you need hope, that you need new life, and you're like, I just need Jesus. Today, if you want to have a relationship with Jesus in this place, I'd encourage you just to slide your hand up for a second, just long enough so I can see. See that hand. See that hand. See that hand. See that hand. It's the greatest choice that you will ever make. It reminds us that he died for us on Friday. Oh, but the grave couldn't hold him. And if the grave couldn't hold him, watch out, because what was against you can't hold you. So we're just going to pray, and what we're going to ask is if those ones who've raised their hands, if you would join with everyone else in this place, and if you would rise to your feet as we get ready to pray together, if everyone would just rise to their feet, and that we would pray as a family, because we don't want to pray alone, and that we would pray a prayer of saying, Jesus, I need you. So would we pray together? Jesus, we need you. Thank you for coming and dying on the cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Jesus, we need you in our life. Forgive me of all of our sins, or all of my sins. Become Lord of my life. To all the dead areas, bring life. Bring hope. Bring freedom and bring purpose. Jesus, I want to follow you with every part of me for your glory and our good. In the name of Jesus, we said together, church, amen, amen. For the many in this place that put your hands up, I would love to connect with you or have one of our team connect with you. We've got a Bible for you. So please don't slide right out. Come and find one of us at least, because it's one of the greatest decisions you could ever make, because in that moment, everything changed. But church, as we get ready to leave, would you just sing with the team, Because He Lives? Thank you. Dear Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that you did in this place. Let us leave here with purpose, with life, because you live. Let us live not grave-tending lives, but lives in the venture in the kingdom. Be with us as we go. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen. 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 Love you, church. Be blessed.